Anybody wants to give me any mouth? Right, these boys here, they're Puerto Rican. They're from New York City and Brooklyn, and they'll take care of you in a second. Anybody got a problem with me? See them at service. I figured that boy would. But these are my friends. I got some friends. They're just scattered around. These are my friends. These boys preach on the subways in New York City. Now, you want to talk about some guts? That takes some guts. I'm sorry. Intestinal fortitude. They told me you're not supposed to say that, preacher's name. These boys got the guts. I'm telling you, they got some backbone. Sorry about that. You think it takes some guts to play football? Go into New York City in the subway and open up a Bible and start preaching. Now, I appreciate it. Now, they're going to be with us tonight. We got a gang of company. A bunch more of my friends coming tonight from Gastonia, Mooresville, and all around there in Charlotte. There are a bunch of them going to be here tonight. But this morning, just a little taste of what we're going to have tonight. So, Eugene, say something right quick, then I'll Curly. They call him Curly for a reason.
Amen. Amen. It's good to be here. Praise the Lord. Good to be away from the rotten apple. Brother Danny called me up and said, we have a big day. Well, man, I like a big day. I'm a big guy. and anyway, praise the Lord. We just came from briefly in Washington, D.C. We celebrated 4th of July with our brother Smokey, West Virginia Baptist Church. And gas prices are going up and all that. Brother Smokey, you might want to just drive to the train station and ride a train all the way into D.C. And I said, I didn't know they had subway there. Glory to God, we got on that subway. And I was telling people, it's a lucky day. Happy 4th of July. And somebody said, oh, no, don't worry. It's no extra charge. Got some free preaching for you today. One guy goes to me, how long are you going to be on the train for? I mean, until I get to heaven, man. I'm here to tell you how you get a ticket to take the train to heaven. Amen. How do you get the ticket to train to heaven? Glory to God. It's been a blessing. We got to preach over there by the monument. And federal cop police came over there, and they're getting ready to tell me to get down. And Brother Gilbert confronted him, and I'm going to let him tell you what happened. But it was a blessing. It looked like they were going to arrest us because they arrested somebody 2 weeks ago. I heard about it. And I said, good night. Obama's not in the White House, and they're already going to lock us up? Yeah. I'm going to let you, Brother Gilbert has a good testimony here. Let him tell you what happened when that cop came over there to take me down.
Danny, the Pope told me what he wants me to say, amen?
Yeah.
But I'm glad to be here, man. My course. He wanted me to do something about Curly, so this is one of my favorite ones. He goes, I'm thinking, but nothing happens. I like to, this is my favorite one. You ever see Curly when he was looking for the mummy? And he falls on one of the mummies and turns into powder. So Mo gets frustrated, smacks him around, and goes, you know, we're going to have to make you a mummy. And Curly turns around and goes, well, I'm not a mummy, I'm a daddy. This is my other favorite one. There's another one. He's outside and going to a haunted house, and he's outside, and Mo and Larry's out there, and Mo says, good in there, get in the house, and slaps him around, and Curly goes, which one, you know? But this is how Curly reads the Bible, amen. I don't know if you're blessing, amen. I mean, the reason I do that is because I was in Alabama one time, pre-Baptist church, and I was called to preach. I surrendered to preach, and I said, man, God, I've got nothing. And New York is always, you know, most. My dad kept us seeing TV, and that's one of my favorite shows, The Three Stooges, man. And I raised up, you know, seeing that, and I said, man, got up there. I said, nowadays, you know, there's nothing good on TV. Imagine Curly being saved. How would he read the Bible, man? So I picked up the Bible. I didn't plan this. I didn't know I was going to do this. I just, the Lord gave it to me. I believe that was the Holy Spirit gave it to me. Whatever. But I was reading it. I said, how would he read the Bible? You see hell, he goes, you'll be reading the Bible. You know, sometimes you read something in the Bible, you like it, some things you don't like. Well, Curly will be reading it and says, and Then my second expression was that Brother Danny was saying that we preach in the streets. I never preach in the trains. I did it one time and I didn't like it, but usually does a good job about that. But I said, imagine 30 being saved. How would you read the Bible? How would you preach in the trains? And I'll say, the Bible said, and I'll be in there and doing my move, you know. And the guy'll say, shut up. And I said, no. And the Bible, I'll pick up the Bible and say, the Bible says you must be born again. And the guy said, you better shut up, I'm gonna kill you. No, we're gonna put stuff on it, you know. The third illustration was Kearney went without reading his Bible. That night he went to sleep and he started having a nightmare about hell, the devil, and Mo told him about the devil and hell. Mo gave him a Bible study about hell. And so Mo wakes up and goes, Oh Larry, the devil's coming at me. And he goes, ah, 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 ah. I hope you got a blessing.
Amen. That's good, buddy. All right, come on with Jason. Jason, come on, get up here. Jason Benfield, he's another good friend of mine. And he's from up down here in Washington, D.C. Come on up here. Let's get that group here last night in prayer meeting. We're going to sing a song with them. Amen. Come on, all y'all. He's here at prayer meeting last night. We're going to sing a little song. If anybody else wants to, recruit us some help. Gina.
Come on,
amen. All right. Amen. Brother Jason lives right there near the Capitol there in Washington, D.C. And he's a friend of mine. We see him every year. And he's been a good friend of mine. I appreciate Brother Jason. And let's see if we can sing a song here. Or I don't know what to try. Amen. Y'all want to get up here now. Sure, it's good to have Miss Kerr with us and Charity this morning. And let's see. What can we sing that we won't mess up? We never had practice but one time. Amen. Let's try that. You think we can do What Love? I appreciate Coach Jason. He done this song for us a long time ago. And this song talks about the Lord Jesus and how much he loves us and cares about us. All right.
She took her hair and dried the tears that fell upon his feet. My, how she loved her master so. Her reputation less than pure, but only he could see. Her tears were for the day they lay him low. Then for his head she held a vessel filled with sweet perfume, an exorbitant price, but she breaks the box and its fragrance fills the room.
What love!
From a precious little baby to a man of 33, down through the years God watched him grow. From a little town called Bethlehem and on to Calvary and up that lonely hill, God watched him go. What he felt inside his broken heart, God only knows. The hammer struck and the vessel broke. Then came that precious flow.
Thank you.
going to have a lot more of that tonight. We're going to have a whole lot more of that tonight. So you be sure and be here tonight. Tonight we're going to take our time. We ain't going to be in no hurry. We're going to have fireworks. At least three or four churches are coming to be with us. And all you folks, come here on Sunday morning, come back tonight at 7 o'clock. Amen. We're just sort of getting broke in this morning.
Amen. Before we get into the preaching this morning, I'm going to do a little something else extra real quick. Like Brother Dan said, it would take all day to try to figure out who all helped in the building and who all took part in making this possible. Of course, we give God all the glory for it.
Amen.
But there's one person that the Lord used to make it all happen. Amen. He may not have been welding, may not have been hammer nails or whatever, but he was coordinating and making sure everything got done. And we just want to honor Brother Danny this morning.
Yep.
And we have a little plaque from the church here. It says, in appreciation to Pastor Danny Castle on the completion of our new church building. Thank you for your work and encouragement from Shine Light Baptist Church. And you know, he was talking this morning about the 4th of July and our heritage, and this country was built on our founding fathers and their faith. And there's not many warriors today left of the Christian faith on and preaching the book, no matter what this world says. Amen. So I'd like our church to stand. Give them a round of applause. We present him with this.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. All right. You can be seated. I do appreciate that. They say if a Baptist church can go through a building program and don't split, that hasn't been a great accomplishment, because that's what they do all over the mountains is they split and get to arguing over what side the piano is going to sit on and fussing about what color curtains in the nursery and stuff. And the best way to do that is just go out and buy it and don't ask nobody. I'm just kidding. 1 Samuel chapter 17 here this morning. Everybody look in your Bible. I do want to encourage you to come back tonight. Strongly urge you to come back tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 17. I want to read you a verse of scripture here where David was getting ready to fight this giant. And David runs down there, if you know the story, and Saul and everyone of them told him, they said, you ain't got no business down here, boy. You need to go back home because you're not a soldier. You don't know how to fight. And you have no business fighting his army. And David looked back at him and he made this statement or asked a question here. And that's what I'm going to preach about this morning. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 29. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? And what David was saying to the king was, look, king, this is bigger than the army of the Israelites. This is bigger than that big giant over there. This is bigger than the armies of Israel or even me and you, King Saul. There is a bigger cause overall that is the reason I'm here to fight this giant today. As we dedicate our building today, I'm going to say the same thing. There's a cause. We didn't come here and buy this place and spend all this money out of our pockets. And buddy, we have too. We've raked, scraped, borrowed, cut corners, done everything. We jewed them guys on them lights there, jewed them down about 2/3 of what they're supposed to cost out there at Lowe's. And we've done everything in the world trying to get this building built. But we didn't do this just so I could stand here and have some more preach on Sunday. I preach all over the United States and travel all the time. Still, I'll be going a lot here in the next few weeks. We didn't do this on some kind of ego trip to try to make a statement or prove something to somebody. There's a cause for this, ladies and gentlemen. There's a much bigger cause, an overriding purpose in a church being here that we're the reason we're here this morning. I'm going to talk about that just a little bit today. You know, today's our 8th anniversary. If you know anything about music, you know that there's 8 notes on this piano. It starts out with do. Re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do, do. That second do, same as that first one, just an octave up. There's only 7 notes on that piano. All them black notes and other notes are half notes and sharps. There's only 7. Everything Beethoven, Mozart, everybody ever made, they made out of seven notes. Seven is completion. And God made it that way. The number eight is the number of new beginning. All the way through the Bible, the number eight stands for new beginning. The week's set up like that. Today's first day of the week. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. That's a week. Seven, eight is the same as the first. So eight stands for new beginning. We have a new beginning today on our eighth anniversary in a brand new church building. I thank the Lord for that. I'll say something else about that in just a minute. But I want to say the reason for this building being here. I've got a lot in my heart, but not time to say it. And I want to say this. The reason for our church being here, first of all, is for old-time gospel preaching. You know, old-time gospel preaching is hard to find nowadays. We're living in a very modernistic time. And it's sad today to see the direction that many churches are going. But the Bible teaches us that we're to preach the Word. We visited a lady one time. Give me down just one hair on this, Brother Mike. We visited a lady one time up there in Marion. And I went up the street and we talked to her. Me and somebody sitting there talking to her. And I said, "Ma'am, I sure wish you'd come to our church. Just come and visit with us." She said, "I want to ask you one question." I said, "What's that?" She said, "Do you yell when you preach?" I said, "Oh, Lord, how am I going to..." I said, "Yeah." And in the back of my mind, I'm saying, "She ain't coming." I said, which is really a dumb question, really. Do you yell when you preach? Of course you do. That's the meaning of the word. Yeah. Isaiah 58 and verse 1 tells you the meaning of the word preach. You know what the word preach means? It means to urge or to recommend strongly. I mean, to feel passionate about something. Believe in what you're saying. It does not mean the Lord is in His holy temple, let all the earth keep silence before Him. That is not preaching. The word preach means in Isaiah 58 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Cry aloud, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob." That's what the word preach means. I mean, when you ask a man, you yell when you preach, well, duh. I mean, do you move when you walk? Of course you do. That's the meaning of the word. And later I asked her, I said, "Lady, do you go to ball games?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Don't they yell there?" She said, "Yeah, but that's different." So I found out this. It ain't yelling that bothers people. It's what we're yelling that gets under the skin. That's what we have. Yelling don't bother me. I know people go to ball games, scream like Comanche Indian, and come to church and sit like a wooden Indian. Screaming don't bother you. It's what we're screaming. And we are going to have old-fashioned Bible preaching here. I'm telling you, we're supposed to preach. We're supposed to preach. Many of you people sitting here this morning are decent humans and members of society because of the preaching you heard when you were growing up. And your mom and daddy taught you the Bible is true, and somebody preached to you, and it shaped our values. I'm glad we're here in the South. I'm glad I'm Southern. I'm glad I'm born here. Wouldn't want to live nowhere else till I get to heaven. I'm happy with it right here in North Carolina. I'm glad I'm a Christian by birth. I'm my natural birth here in North Carolina. I'm Baptist by choice, and I'm Southern by the grace of God. And I'm glad of that and proud of it. Don't want to be nothing else. But I'm telling you this morning, we don't realize here in the South how old-fashioned Bible preaching built this country. It was built and founded upon camp meetings and revival meetings that have been held all across the Bible Belt. Ralph Sexton said, senior, not junior, Ralph Sexton, senior, said many years ago, he said, "You can take a compass on a map and you can put that compass down on Asheville, North Carolina. You can draw a 150-mile radius of that compass in a circle. That takes in Chattanooga, takes in down all around Charlotte, Greenville, South Carolina, up around Knoxville, that 150-mile circle right there on the map. And there's more preachers come out of that little spot than anywhere on planet Earth. You know where me and you live? Right smack in the middle of that little book, that little place on the map. I'm glad that we have a place here where we can still have old-time gospel Bible preaching. I'm telling you, it'll get the job done.
There's nothing like preaching. Nothing will do for you what preaching will do. By the time I get through this morning, you're going to see and hear things this morning that you'll never get on TV unless you get a rare station, and you rarely get on the radio. What this country is starving for and needs to get back to is old-fashioned Bible preaching right from this book as it is to men as they are. I'm telling you this morning, that's old-fashioned Bible preaching. That's what my daddy said. Daddy said before he got saved, that mom drug him down here from West Virginia. He said, a man ain't got a chance around here. He's shaking bush and five preachers will fall out of it. That's true. That's the truth. And I'm glad of that. Nothing wrong with that. I'm glad they are. Hallelujah. Nowadays, they want you to speak, you know. Somebody asked me the other day, they said, who's going to be our speaker? They said, Reverend Danny Castle. I said, that hurt my feelings. I'm not a speaker. I am a preacher. I'm not ashamed of being a preacher. That's what Jesus was. Bible said He preached the gospel. Let me tell you something, kids. There's nothing ever to be ashamed about somebody just opening up that book and running back and saying, this is what God said. Now, what are we going to do with it? Nothing wrong with that. And I'm telling you, brother, they want you to rap. They want you to talk. They want you to do anything. When you get a group of young people together, first thing you say is, now, kids, we're not going to preach to you. Well, ain't nothing wrong with preaching to them. Preaching's good for you. Preaching, everybody needs to be a preacher. Amen? You know what Abraham Lincoln said? Abraham Lincoln said, quote, you won't get taught this in school, that's why you got to get it at church. Abraham Lincoln said, quote, I like to hear a man preach like he's fighting a swarm of bees. The president said that. He said, I like to hear a man preach like he's fighting a swarm of bees. Do you reckon the president's pastor now preaches like he's fighting a swarm of bees? I doubt it, don't you? I mean, listen, if there was a bee's nest under this pulpit this morning, I mean one of them big old look like them old Church of God hairdos up underneath this pulpit, and that thing had about that many, about 150 of them big hornets, and they're about that big, and about that time, my knee hit that thing, and about 75 of them come out and swarm around. Do you honestly think that I'd stand here and say, brethren, it seems that my knee has invaded the feeble home of these precious creatures. And lest perhaps one of them should sting me, perhaps you think I'd act like that? You know what Abraham Lincoln said? He said, I want to hear a man preach like he's fighting. Listen, brother, I don't care how many people's in here. I don't care how undignified it looks. If them things come out on me this morning, buddy, I'm that's the way I'll be doing if I get right there. And Abraham Lincoln said, that's the way a man ought to preach. You know the biggest trick the devil ever pulled on this country is when he took the drama out of the pulpit and put it on the Hollywood screen. Listen, we got something to be dramatic about. We got something to be emotional about. We're talking about heaven and hell and eternal issues and God and Jesus coming. That's why this building's built here. And if you think I'm going to calm down just because we got a new church, you got another thing coming, brother. I'm liable to get wilder. I'm telling you what, I'd swing off one of them things if I thought it'd hold me up. I'm telling you, this is for old-fashioned preaching. And you're going to hear it here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. God have mercy on us if we get away from old-fashioned preaching. You say, I don't like it. I know, that's why I'm loading your wagon while you're here. You need it. You need it worse than a lot of people here. Amen? I'm telling you something, brother. Listen, old Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday was the greatest evangelist this country ever known up until the time of Billy Graham. And Billy Sunday carried us to the time of Billy Graham. And Billy Sunday used to run back and forth across the pulpit. He'd break chairs. He wound up preaching in his undershirt. And his pants leg rolled off. I mean, they still people think if your britches leg ain't rolled up three or four times, you ain't done no preaching. Matter of fact, these people still that don't believe if you even hack a little bit. And I like to hear them hack. I love it, man. I like to hear them go through and say, the Bible says, ha, if you don't get saved, ha, you're going to have... How many of you ever heard old hacking preaching? Raise your hand. Well, if you ain't never heard no preaching. Lord have mercy. There's people up in the mountains believe you ain't even called to preach if you don't hack a little bit. That's right. That's right. There's that story. A little boy come in one morning. He come in. He said, Mama, you got to be from the mountains of North Carolina to understand this. Little boy come in. He said, Mama, God called me to preach. She said, shut up. That's serious business. He said, he did. God called me to preach. She said, you can't preach, son. He said, yes, I can, Mama. Let me try. She said, all right, go ahead. He jumped up on something. He said, the little red hen come around the barn. She said, that is not preaching, son. I told you to get... He said, Mama, God called me to preach. She said, well, you hush. God did not call you. He said, He did too. Let me try it again, please. She said, all right, one more time. He jumped up her and he said, the little hot, red, hot hen, hot, I come around the barn. She went, woo! God has called you to preach. You see, they, some of them, it don't matter what you say, just long as you say it. Just long as you say it like they want it said. And that's not right. I'm telling you, we need old-time gospel preachers. He said that time over there one time, over in the old country, he was up there and he was giving his little boring Sunday morning address. And some fellow stood up about five rows up here in the balcony, way up here, and he said, I say, old brother, could you speak up a tad? We can't hear you. He just kept on and on and on and on, just boring. I mean, everybody sitting in our sleep, about to die. Guy stood up, we about to come from the balcony, and he said, I say, old chap, could you speak? I hear you. Boy, he just stood up there, and he kept on and on, just as boring, it was awful. And finally, the guy stood up there again. He said, dear brother, could you speak up? Finally, some guy way down here on the front turned and said, hey, man, thank God you came here. Sit down and shut up. That's right. I'd hate to have to listen to it. I'd rather drive 50 miles on Sunday morning and get filled than to drive 5 miles and get fooled. Amen? This building was built for old-fashioned Bible preaching. That's right. I'm telling you something, ladies and gentlemen. We have to be... my pastor, Hall Hollifield, taught me. He said, we can't compete with the world. A lot of churches try to compete with the world. Build a nicer building, build a family life center, build a gymnasium. I'm not against all that. I wish we had all that. But you can't compete with the world. They'll beat you. They got more money. They got talent. We've got to give them something the world can't give them. And that's exactly what you're getting this morning. You're getting something that the world can't give. You don't get this on TV. This is supernatural. It comes from this book. And brother, listen, we need churches in this county and surrounding counties where people can know. I know if I go to that church, somebody's going to preach a Bible to me and I'm going to be told about my sins and I'll be a better person after I go there. That's why this building is built. There's too many dead churches now. Somebody said, well, why build another church? There's plenty of them. That's right. Most of them are so dead you can't. You heard about that little church way up on top of a mountain? And the little church caught on fire. And everybody in town had a bucket of water running up the hill to help put out the fire. And it just so happened that the church deacon and the town atheist was running right side by side. And they run up through there and put the fire out like that. And the deacon looked over to the atheist and said, it's the first time I ever seen you run into church. And the atheist looked back and said, first time I ever seen church on fire. I don't blame them. I don't blame them for not wanting to go. I don't blame them. Amen? I'm telling you, preaching is what this church is built for. Preaching. This church ain't built on singing. This church is built on preaching. This church ain't built on programs or counseling. This church is built on preaching this Bible right here. I'm telling you something, preaching. And this thing ain't as easy as you. All you people that's expert on preachers, it's not as easy as you think it is. These Monday morning dime store quarterbacks that's got it all figured out. You know, they can sit down here at Walmart and drink coffee and say, did you see the Dallas Cowboys yesterday? That crazy quarterback, he's blind. Man, not wide open down there. Why didn't he throw it tomorrow? I'd fire him. That's easy to say. That's easy to say sitting in your living room with your widescreen TV watching it in slow motion. But let's put you down there on that field. You got about 10 million watts of light shining right in your eyes. 80,000 people screaming their guts out. And as soon as they snap that ball, you got about a second and a half and about 10 big goons about that big look like refrigerators coming right at you. And you got, I'm telling you, brother, you got about a second to make up your mind. Let's see how good you can do. All these people, experts, you ever met these people? These mountains are full of them. These people that are experts on preachers. Well, let me tell you about Danny Castle. Well, let me tell you about, I think God does it. Blah, 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 blah. Let's sit around and run them out. Let's see you get up and try it one time, big boy. Give you a whang at it one time. I'm telling you, this is a whole lot harder than it looks like. We make it look easy, but it ain't. I mean, you get up here and try, my mouth is about
one sentence ahead of my brain, and my brain's typing it in. I'm spitting it out right here. And you got to look at people. I mean, somebody over there laughing a minute ago. People make faces at you, and somebody's going to sleep. And everything. Y'all try that sometime. It's awful. I mean, you get your tongue tangled up like that if you ain't careful. And the first thing you know, you'll say something crazy. I heard about this preacher got up one time. He got up. He was real excited. And he said, "Praise God." He said, "This is a full house. If the Lord keeps a blessing, we're going to have to beg a builder biggin." He said, "Praise the Lord." I mean, you can get all messed up here like that. Hear about that Church of God preacher. He got up one morning, and he's so excited. He is so excited. He got up there, and he said, "Woo!" He said, "Praise God." He said, "The Lord called us to cast out the sick, heal the dead, and raise the devil. Let's get on the ball and do what God wants us to do." This guy one time, this is funny, I'll tell you this and I got to go. This usher come in one time. He said, "I'm hungry. My girl's going to take me out to eat." This usher come up and he said, "Excuse me, ma'am, you're occupying the wrong pie." She said, "What? May I sew you to another sheet?" That's awful. But you ought to try this sometime. Go out in your yard. You ever met these people? I meet them once in a while and they say, "Boy, you got it made. Don't work but one day a week." I want to smack them every time somebody says that to me. I say, "Well, if it's so easy and you get rich, go get you a building and start. Let's see how many people you can get to come and listen to you. Try it, big boy." Listen, I'm telling you, this building was built for old-fashioned Bible preaching. Let me say also this morning, I'll hurry. This building was built to help us preserve America's Christian heritage. Thank God for America. Thank God, regardless of what the world, the secular news media, and the liberal college professors try to say to you, America was founded as one nation under God. We should support our country. We still believe in the flag. We thank God for America. And if you want to live anywhere else, we'll help buy you a one-way ticket on wherever you want to go. I'm glad we live in America, in a country where we can honor the flag and preach the Bible and still live for God. You say, "Well, Brother Danny, what's happened to our country?" I don't know. We're in bad shape. But I'll tell you one thing. I don't see people, everybody trying to leave, still better than anywhere else. You know what Christopher Columbus said? You won't hear this in school either because of their bigotry. Christopher Columbus said, quote, "It was the Lord who put it into my mind. I could feel His hand upon me. There is no question that the inspiration was from the Holy Spirit." They said, "Well, if we teach that in school, it's going to be preferring one religion over..." Wait a minute, wait. Your job's to teach history. If they worship rocks, teach the kids they worship rocks. If they cut their heads off, teach the kids teach history. And history says, Columbus said, "The Lord put His hand on me and guided me to this country." Abraham Lincoln said, quote, "Teach it. The Bible is the best gift God's ever given to man." Andrew Jackson said, quote, "That book is the republic, or the rock on which our republic rests." John Quincy Adams said, quote, "So great respect to the Bible that the sooner my children begin to read it, the more respectable members of society that they'll become." John Adams said, "We have no government armed with power capable of contending in human passions unbridled by morality and religion. Our Constitution was made for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for the government of any other." But as time went on, things began to change. And as you know, in 1962, by the pressure of one atheist woman, Madeline Murray O'Hara, our Supreme Court voted, I think, 6-2 to remove God from our public schools, the Bible, prayer. The Gideons weren't allowed. You can't put up a copy of the Ten Commandments. No God. And 6 months later, we were brought to our knees as our president had a bullet in his head in Dallas, Texas. And everybody's saying, "Why did God let this happen?" A few months later, a demon appeared in Liverpool, England, and the Beatles came over here, and where that vacuum was left, where God, when the Bible was pulled out, something had to take up that vacuum. The free love movement, no morality movement came in. Brother, it got worse and worse and worse. They said no God, so the devil moved in. It got worse and worse. Rape, robbery, teenage pregnancy, the divorce rate skyrocketed. Our nation took a major step downward. That was not progress.
that was degressed in the 60s, and we're reaping the benefits of that now. It's a terrible situation. And now, 1980, MTV come out, where it's 24 hours a day, pumping it into the kids' minds. No God. You know why there's so many school shootings? You know why there's so many school shootings? Because rock videos tell the kids that's what they're supposed to do and think and act. It's got nothing to do with guns. Guns, the crooks ain't going to turn their guns in. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, when I went to school, boys brought shotguns to school. They had them in the back of their pickup truck to go squirrel hunting that evening. They didn't shoot the teacher. We didn't have a cop in our school. What do we need a cop for? We had a principal. And brother, Dr. Jack Kirstein, his coach called, they'd have a flag raising if you had a flag sewed on the back of your britches, that's for sure. You say, well, preacher, we can't do that no more. I'm telling you, that's why this church is here, to preserve our nation's Christian heritage. The flags were burned. The church began to mock. Now, Marilyn Manson can stand on stage. I do it in one of my video presentations, where he rips the pages out of a Bible on stage and throws it to the crowd, and they tear that Bible up like a piece of dogs going after a piece of raw meat. That's where we've got to in this nation this morning. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, there's a cause. There's a cause for, we've still got a reason for being here. There is a purpose in this building being built. Thank God we can keep our nation's heritage like it is. We begin to forget God, went to the lakes, cable, came out satellite TV in the 90s. Here came the internet, and we got further and further away from God. The Church of Satan began in the 60s. Rock concerts, computers. Now it's MySpace, where girls were meeting people they don't even know and wound up being, all of you heard, help me, bus workers, all of you heard this week of that little girl up there in Brooke Bennett, up north of Massachusetts, somewhere where it was. And how she had been on the computer, but later they found out that her uncle was responsible for her disappearance. The ACLU will stand up against anything that's right and take a stand for anything that's wrong. I like what the mayor of Pawtucket, Rhode Island said some time ago. They was interviewing him, and they asked the mayor of Pawtucket, Rhode Island, they said, because the ACLU was fussing about the nativity scene, Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus on the courthouse lawn. They was fussing about that. They don't like it. They want rid of it. And the mayor got on the radio and he said, perhaps that the reason the ACLU opposes the nativity scene on the courthouse lawn, that probably if one searched the entire organization of the ACLU, one would not find three wise men or a virgin. That's probably true. That's probably true. Amen? Preserve America's Christian heritage. You say, Brother Danny, what's going to happen? I like what I heard the other day. This is a true story. They're having a school baccalaureate service, and the principal, and I was going to show you one this morning, but didn't have time, where they threaten these kids. You cannot say God. You cannot ask Him to bless anything. You cannot pray at our commitment exercises. This really happened. Somebody probably heard about it. And the person, whoever it was, the main student or valedictorian or whoever was giving the speech, and all the kids had it all rigged because they'd done told them, you can't say God bless America, you can't say God bless the school, you cannot pray, you cannot say Jesus, none of that will be allowed, and you'll be charged with a crime if you do it. So right at the right minute, the students had it all planned out. And the leader stood up here and she went, ha-choo! And everybody said, God bless you. They got it in. They got it in. Listen, don't give me this stuff of, Brother Danny, times are hard and people just don't go to church like they used to. Let me go ahead and say this too. This gas business. Don't give me this stuff about this gas business. I talked to two or three people just this week. They said, Lord, preacher, we can't afford the gas to come to church. I've noticed that they've got gas to go everywhere else. They still can make it to the ball game. They still can make it to the steakhouse. Don't y'all gripe on me now. I go for about an hour on this. I'm hungry as you are. But listen, don't you give it. Listen, I don't like gas prices no more than you do. I hate it. I think it's wicked. I think we ought to drill our own oil and let the next generation worry about their problems. Listen, but I'm telling you this morning, don't use that for an excuse. You still go where you want to. You know what somebody told me? They said, we're going to come to church now as high as gas is. We're going to take it out of tithes. Ain't that something? How wicked can you get? Why don't you take it out of your cable bill? You hypocrite. Why don't you take it out of your... Listen, some of you ladies, you spend enough money on your toenails to pay for the extra gas. Pay better than that. Listen, I don't want to hear it. Listen, I've done figured out how much gas it takes me to get from Nebo down to here. I've done figured it out. You know what? All we can do, you ain't about, listen, every restaurant is full. Listen, as long as you can go to the steakhouse and lay down $50 or $60 for one meal, I don't want to hear it. As long as you're still at Walmart walking around on Saturday night picking up stuff you don't even need, I don't want to hear it. Gas ain't that high. I'm telling you, brother, as long as you still got that satellite, don't tell me how high gas is. As long as you still got your cable bill, as long as you're still carrying that cell phone around everywhere, $100 a month, don't tell me how high gas is. You can get here. My daddy said people do what they want to do. People do what they want to do. And what they don't want to do, they make an excuse to do it. Don't tell me you can't afford gas to come to church and go spend $1,000 on a vacation. I won't hear it. You're getting me in a bad mood. Amen. Don't tell me you can't afford extra gas money and then spend $20 a week to tan in bed. Don't tell me. Don't tell me that you can't afford to come to church and spend another $100 on a golf course. I don't believe we're as bad off as we want to let on like we are. We just need our priorities straight. That's why this building built. I've never seen such a bunch of guilty-looking people in my life. The Lord laid that on my heart, saying, if you're guilty, I mean, it ain't my fault. You know this is our 8th anniversary. This is our 8th anniversary. 8 means new beginning. You know how many people there was in the ark? 8. God drowned the whole world, and 8 started it all over again. 8 on the music. 8 is the number of new beginnings. Do you realize today, this day is 2008? You're making history. You're sitting right here this morning on our 8th anniversary. This is 2008. Do you know that this is the 28th week this year? Have you looked at your calendar and seen that today is the 188th day this year? Do you realize there's 178 days left in this year? Do you realize I went and got us a new phone number and our number is 437-8111 for the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Do you realize this morning, brother, that you are in new beginning? Do you realize this morning that God's got a reason for this place being here, and it's for old-fashioned preaching, preserving our heritage, and helping our country? That's where we are today. Reach families that are crumbling. The divorce rate now is staggering. We worry about the people. Did you know, I think we've lost 4,000 people in Iraq, the last 4,113, something like that. My heart breaks for every one of them. I'm sad for the family. Guess what? We kill 4,400 every day in this country illegally by abortion.
That's right.
Now, they say it's legal. I say it's illegal. I can prove from the Bible that an unborn child is a human being. I can prove. I ain't got time this morning. If you want to see me after service, I can prove from the Bible that an unborn child is a person. God named some people in the Bible before they was born. God called some to preach before they was born. And John the Baptist shouted in his mother's womb before he was born, it's a person. You say, well, what about a woman's right? What about the baby's right? All these people believe that. They're glad their mama didn't have one. Amen. That's right. I'm telling you, we kill 4,400 babies a day, every day in this country, over 1.5 million a year, and some of them are still kicking when they throw them in the trash can. A teacher got up from his class some time ago, asked them what they believed about abortion. He said a woman got pregnant,
The father had syphilis. The mother had TB. They already had four children. One was blind. One was dead. Born dead. One was a deaf mute, and the other had TB. The mother was pregnant with her fifth child. And every kid in there said, have an abortion. And he said, congratulations, you just killed Beethoven.
Yep.
You just killed Beethoven. Scott Peterson is sitting in prison this morning, and the state of California convicted him of a double homicide. You listen? A double homicide. He killed Lacey, his wife, while she is pregnant. They named the baby Connor, little Connor, and they prosecuted him as a double murder. When he killed her, he killed the baby too. And then the state of California will turn right around and say, a woman has, she could have killed it and it would have been perfectly legal. There's something wrong with that. There's something wrong with that kind of thinking. If he can't kill it, she can't kill it. You say, but it's her body. Baby ain't her body. Baby's the baby's body. It's a separate human being. It's a separate human being. That's why this church was built. You say, well, preacher, they don't deserve to live. Well, I'm glad somebody didn't say that about you, ain't you?
Yeah.
I will say finally, and I'm through this morning, you know why this church was built? Because there's a hell. I'm telling you, if I didn't believe there was a hell, we'd have never done this. I just moved on somewhere else, settled down, just dropped out of society, and sort of kicked back. And I know enough people around. I had people begging me to come to West Virginia and Florida and Georgia and everywhere. Come here, Danny. We'll come here. And listen, you know why? You know why we started this church and built this church? Because I believe there's a hell. If a preacher don't believe there's a hell, he's useless. He's useless. What do you need him for? The Bible talks about hell. Jesus spoke more about hell than he did about heaven. The Bible gives the geographical location of hell as under your feet. The Bible said hell from beneath. You ever heard anybody say we're going to raise hell? That's in the Bible. The Bible said hell's moved to meet you as you come. It sees a bunch of people partying, it comes up to get them. I'm telling you this morning, there's a hell where you never die. You never die. You never get any rest. You hear me this morning? You never get out. You never have a moment's rest. You take a ball the size of this earth, a solid steel ball, put a little ant on that ball. Let that ant crawl around on that solid steel ball till he wears it down the size of a marble. And hell just began. You let a bird fly to Myrtle Beach this morning and pick up one grain of sand and fly all the way to the moon and drop it and fly all the way back to Myrtle Beach and pick up another grain of sand and fly away to the moon and drop it. And when it moves all the grains of sand to the moon, hell is just beginning. My mom used to sing when I was little, Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, I want to go to heaven. Because hell is an awful, awful place. That's why we're here today. So you won't have to go to hell. Listen, we put $100 worth of fuel in one bus the other Sunday. And we run five of them. $100 worth of ones with money that we ain't got. You know why we do that? I don't know how many kids we had on the buses this morning. Probably close to 200, I'm guessing. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you, you know why we do that? Because we believe they've got a soul, and we believe they're going to live forever and ever and ever and ever somewhere. And one of the smartest things I ever heard a man say was old Dr. Bob Jones Sr. Bob Jones Sr., he ain't like the crowd that runs that place down there in Greenville now. Bob Jones Sr. was an old peanut farmer. And he had more sense than his little finger than most of the educated guys did in their head. Common sense ain't too common no more, you know. And old Bob Jones said he's walking down the road one day, and he said, a thought struck me. He said, I've got to live forever someday. And I've got to live forever somewhere. So I guess I better start learning how to live.
Good.
Have you thought that yet? He said, I've got to live forever somewhere. So I better start learning how to live. I'm going to tell you this morning while they're coming to get us a song. Y'all listen to me, young people? You got to live forever somewhere. You better start learning how to live. You're going to be alive a billion years from right now. You're still going to be alive. And if you'd trade a few years of partying and dope and drugs and junk for forever and ever in hell, You ain't using your brain. I don't know where you stand with God this morning. If there's never been a time in your life when you've come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why this church is here? She said something when she read that little statement a minute ago about everybody walks in them grounds on the doors on level ground. That's true. Ain't nobody in here no better than nobody else. You don't have to live in a certain section of town or drive a certain kind of car to come to this church. We're all sinners that need help from God. You need help? Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Our heads and hearts are bowed before God this morning. In just a moment, we're going to sing. Nobody's moving. Nobody's leaving. God's speaking to your heart. In just a minute, we're going to give an invitation.